Bird Note is provided by Jim and Birta Falconer from Seattle, Washington, and generous listeners around the world.
Welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. My name is Jesse, and we've been all over the place this morning, this Thursday, and it's going to continue like that. I got some more stories to tell you, a little bit more music to share, and I do want to get into one of my new favorite recurring segments, which is what did I find in the CJSF archives this week? Because, boy, have I got some gems, both general interest and specific to me, kooky interests that are, well, you will bear with me, and I'm sure you'll love them too, because that's what we do here. So we're going to do that, but first, it is a day. It is May the 4th, Star Wars Day, of course. So as a treat to you and also to me, a treat for us to both listen to, we've got the Star Wars Gangsta Rap, a old internet culture classic, a nerd culture classic, and we're going to hear it right now. This day brings a smile to my face, the Star Wars Gangsta Rap by Bent Frame, here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM. Thanks for listening, as always. Really appreciate you being out there and tuning into the station and keeping it tuned to this station, as We do our thing here and bring you radio the only way we know how, which is as wild and diverse as we can. Lots of stuff. So I had mentioned my new favorite recurring segment, what was in the archives this week, and boy howdy. You're, I'm sure, familiar with the band Iron Maiden, legendary metal band, lots of great epic songs and, you know, a good balancing of, you know, virtuosity and also pop songwriting and the inimitable voice of Bruce Dickinson. I say inimitable, but of course there was a period in Iron Maiden history when Bruce Dickinson was not the singer of Iron Maiden, and he was instead replaced by Blaze Bayley. This was in the mid-90s, after Bruce decided he wanted to do some solo stuff, and also just generally, you know, being in a hugely popular metal band for over a decade led to some internal turmoil between band members. Who would have thought? So anyway, he left. Iron Maiden decided they had to keep it going. So they hired Blaze Bayley. They had a big competition, lots of interviews. No, what's that called? When someone tryouts? Oh my God, it's so obvious. And maybe you know it, listener. I'm sure you do. I'm sure you're screaming it at auditions. That's the one. We even have a channel in the studio called the Audition Channel. Goodness gracious. Anyway, they held auditions. They chose Blaze Bayley. And they released a couple albums. One was called The X Factor. That was their 10th album. And then Virtual 11 was the second and final album featuring Blaze Bayley. It is, of course, the 11th album, hence the title Virtual 11. And this record, Virtual 11, was in the CJSF Music Library, so I had to pull it out and look at it. Oh man, this album. So it really kind of points to the crass commercialization of a legendary metal band that was always fairly commercial. So I mean, let's not get too picky here, but they decided that this album had to be tied in with two events that had nothing to do, well, very limited things to do with Iron Maiden, well, with their music anyway. One of them is that, well, so this album came out in March 1998, and the other thing that happened in 1998 was the FIFA World Cup, and so they decided that this album had to come out and tie in with the FIFA World Cup. And so the inside of the album art features a band shot that also features footballers Stuart Pearce, Faustino Apria, Paul Gascoigne, Ian Wright, Patrick Vera, and Mark Overmars. So more footballers than band members in this, or an equal number of footballers to band members in this shot. But then also, so the album is called Virtual 11, and the album art features Eddie, the Iron Maiden's mascot, the big zombie monster guy, who if you go to see them live, there's like a giant animatronic Eddie who usually walks around. Anyway, he's on the cover, as he always is, and he's sort of grabbing this kid who's plugged into a VR headset. Side note, interesting how little the conceptual design for a VR headset has changed from 1998 to present. It looks positively modern. But in the background is, and very, very sort of clearly added in as an afterthought, is a group of people playing football in the corner. So there's this giant zombie monster, what could only be described as a hellscape, his hand reaching out to this kid, and then just tucked away in the corner, eight people playing football. So very strange. And, you know, you got to do what you got to do to tie in your record to the World Cup. They also did a publicity tour in which they played football matches across Europe with guest musicians and pro footballers. Weird. Very weird. And that's not even the only tie-in. It was also tied in to the video game Ed Hunter, which is, you guessed it, a Iron Maiden-themed video game. It's an on-the-rails shooter in which you go through all these different worlds inspired by Iron Maiden songs. And you shoot a bunch of people on your way to rescuing Eddie? It's wild. There's a full playthrough of it on YouTube, and it's not on Nintendo. This was a PC game, and it was included in not this album, but the Greatest Hits album, which followed Virtual 11. After Blaze Bayley had left the band. So he got to sing on this album to promote this game that then he was out of the band by the time the game came out, because Bruce Dickinson had returned to reclaim his place. So I'm just going to... So the game originally included actual Iron Maiden songs, recordings of their songs, but this playthrough that's been uploaded to the internet has replaced them with MIDI versions to skirt copyright. But so I'm just going to play you a little bit of what it sounds like and read you the opening text just to get a feel for what this is. So here we go. We're in a Private Eyes office. And the letter opens and it says, "There is someone I need you to find. This person is being held in an institution. You must free him and follow him to the end of the earth. If that is where he chooses to go, let nothing stop you. He will not want to be followed. He may try to stop you. Defend yourself, but remember, he is not your enemy. Here are the funds and further details. If you choose not to accept this mission, you can keep the money. Once you take the task, there is no turning back. You will find out more at the end of the chase." And now we're on a street. There's a guy with a mohawk. He just knocks someone out with a bottle. And now the shooting begins. And yes, the graphics about match the audio fidelity there. Wild. I recommend you check it out. And just to give Blaze Bayley a little bit of a fair shake, we will play a track off of Virtual 11. Still stands as a pale imitation of Bruce Dickinson in my mind, but this is the big single off of this record, still not very big, called Future Real. We'll be right back.
Do you know how much I love you? This much. That's right, this much. As much as I love the music I play on my radio show to share with you. As much as I love the ideas I'm introduced to every time I tune into CJSF. As much as the panoramic view from Burnaby Mountain where we broadcast our signal from. That's a lot of love. From me to you.
Shape or form like any other.
A thing.
There is nothing like a day, nothing in the world. There is nothing you can name that is anything like a day.
Nothing else is built the same.
Nothing.
There's absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
There is nothing like fame.
A day.
Or completely free from flaws, or as faithful as a bird dog, or as kind as Santa Claus. No waste of time to worry over things that they have not. Be thankful for the things they've got.
There is nothing you can name that is anything like a day.
Like a dame.
Nothing looks like a dame.
There are no drinks like a dame.
And nothing thinks like a dame.
And nothing acts like a dame.
Or attracts like a dame.
There is something that's wrong with anger.
We'll be right back.
There is Nothing Like a Dame by Real Big Fish here on Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon. Going through some wild finds from the CJSF archives. I was still secretly at heart a big ska fan, particularly third wave ska, all that silly stuff. Yesterday I found the soundtrack to a film called Welcome to Whoop Whoop, which, I mean, just based on the title, I was obviously going to look at. And then I opened it up and I found that it included not only that that Rodgers and Hammerstein cover by Real Big Fish, but also songs by Cake, Chumbawamba, Boy George, Eels. I was intrigued, to say the least. So I did some digging and found the film Welcome to Whoop Whoop, which is an Australian film by Stephen Elliott. And you may recognize that name as the director of, The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. This was his follow-up, and it is, well, it's a cult classic, which generally means that upon its release, it was thought of as bad. Australian film critic Michael Adams included the movie on his list of worst ever Australian films. I watched a little bit of it. I didn't think it was that bad. I definitely see the cult classic element of it. Apparently, it's a big favorite of RuPaul. I didn't recognize anyone in the movie. Lots of Australian actors. It's out there. It's about this guy who's a cockatoo smuggler, and he loses his cockatoo, so he has to go to Australia, and then he gets seduced by a young woman who brings him back to Whoop Whoop, which is a very isolated community. And things get very strange. I'll leave it at that. But they love Rodgers and Hammerstein music, so hence the Real Big Fish cover. Anyway, thanks for hanging out with me this week and others as I dive deep into weirdness. Really appreciate you being there to lend an ear, to be the wall that I bounce ideas back off of. To just generally be out there for me. I really appreciate that. You are my rock, and I'm really glad that that I get to be here and share all of this with you. Really grateful. So thanks again. One last piece of stuff to get to before the end of the show, and this is you could say it's related to the previous song. Simply because it's also kind of Scott related. Oh, before we get going, I did want to say that Hallelujah Hailu, who I played earlier in the show, is playing at CJSF's 20th FM anniversary party this weekend. That's at Mood Swing Coffee in New Westminster. You can see Hallelujah, Connor Ashton, host of BitCouver and CJSF music coordinator, and Johnny Bones, host of Rad Radio. Here on CJSF, we'll all be performing. There'll also be some DJing by DJ Medi of Wham Bam East Van and Mikubat of At This Time of Day. Some draw prizes, drinks, but it is all ages. So, come hang out just right downtown New Westminster. Check it out. Okay, and now I'm going to try to get through this very quickly. The Aquabats are one of the greatest bands of all time, in my estimation. They're very silly. They have the mythology of them being a team of superheroes. This has turned into a short-lived TV series. But back when they released The Fury of the Aquabats, they put out, well, The Fury of the Aquabats, which is a great, fun, silly record that features Travis Barker on drums. Travis Barker of Blink-182 and probably one of the more famous drummers in the world these days. He is credited, of course, as not as Travis Barker, but instead as the Baron Von Tito, which is great. I'm just going to read this from the Aquabats, and then we'll get into their track Super Rad to take us out of the show. So once again, thank you, and here we go. When we last left our team of superheroes and lovers, in order to liberate the Aquabats' homeland, the lost continent of Aquabania, From the evil clutches of the great and abominable space monster M, the professor had launched the Aquabats on a full global assault to take over the world through music. As our saga continues, we find that things have not fared so well for our friends. They took day jobs and toured the suburbs in an ice cream truck selling Aqua Pops and Lemon Pika in order to just survive, let alone dominate the world. Then, tragedy strikes. Space Monster M placed a bounty on the heads of the Aquabats, calling forth villains from all corners of the universe, evil foes such as Gasface, the Powdered Milkman, the Zorilla, El Demonico, the Silver Skull, the Spectre, Grungor, the Sand Fleas, and even Grandma Peterson, along with a countless swarm of others to make things a little worse for our struggling heroes. Space Monster M dispatched this army of the universe's most crummy bad guys to seek out and destroy the Aquabats. As a result of these onslaughts, injury strikes, and the Aquabats are forced to recruit old friend and mercenary, the Baron Von Tito, to replace Rod on drums. Then, suddenly, a vicious Cupid attacks Ben the Brain with sleepless vengeance. As he finds himself married and later a father to a family much too much adorable for musical crime-fighting adventures, leaving the Aquabats brainless. To top it off, keyboardist and pancake maker Nacho takes a break to pursue his solo career in Nine Inch Nachos, huge in Europe. So, the professor and Catboy scramble to rebuild this legion and invent a multi-talented android known as Jamie the Robot out of the dessert you'll always have room for and video game parts. Then, miraculously, the mysterious Ultra Q return from the swamps of the Nowhere Lands to reconstitute the Aqua Battalion, alongside their allies the Magic Chicken, the Wrestling Roadies, the Pig Bat and Man Boy. The Aquabats were once again prepared to do battle. Still, the threat continues. Not only is Aquabania in distress, but we find that America and possibly the entire planet is faced with potential calamity from this intergalactic tyrant. Outnumbered and distraught, are the Aquabats done for? What opposition lies ahead? Did I leave the iron on? Stay awake, kids, as this story unravels. Just remember what counts. It's not the size of the battle, it's the fury. And now, the theme of the Aquabats.